Let's do it. Let's do it. Welcome in to the Project Game Day postgame show. Glenn Clark, the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard.
Yeah.
We know the game's not over yet, but
it's over.
The game's been over.
It's over.
It's been over.
The game is over.
It looked like it was going to get interesting again there for a minute in the second half, but fortunately, the Ravens made the plays and they needed them, including really a huge play after what looked, there was some debate as to whether or not it was a fumble or an incomplete pass. I thought it was very obvious on replay that it was an incomplete pass and that Joe Flacco had control of the ball as it was coming out and he threw it to the ground and it wasn't a fumble, but there was a little bit of debate and the Ravens wisely quickly got up as the Lions were thinking about whether or not they wanted to review it and they were trying to waste some time and they got to the line, they got a play call, they got a huge gain and it led to the touchdown that really put this one away or at least started to put it away when it seemed like it was getting interesting again. So that was a really big play for the Ravens in the course of this game and a day in which their offense was very good. I don't think we could have seen that coming.
Who is this team?
Right? But a day in which the story will be as much about the result of the game as it will be. Remember how we felt the day that they won and Marshall Yonder
got
hurt?
Yes, I was just getting ready to say because that was different because we learned that while we were on the air, which
that's true.
Now we've had a little bit of time to process Jimmy Smith's situation, but you saw that coming, but it still hurts. But we found out the Marshall Yonder injury literally as
we were enjoying.
So that was different.
Like,
we had to process
out.
That.
Right, yeah, and then we got the word. A bunch of different emotions. I think this is even more significant than the Marshall Yonder injury.
Yes, absolutely.
In part because, as we talked about, if you go back to when we did that postgame show, what I said to you then was, look, I know it's going to sound crazy, but this team was built to win defensively. So as bad as the Marshall Yonder injury is, if their defense is as good as everybody wants it to be or wants to think that it is, I think they can overcome it.
Yeah.
This, to me, is far more significant. Jimmy Smith this season has been by far the best player on this football
Easily.
Team. Easily. Not particularly close. Ronnie Stanley, probably the closest argument that you could even make. But Jimmy Smith's been the best player on this team by a good bit.
He's been dealing with a bad Achilles
Correct.
All season, and
Correct.
He's still played at an extremely high
but
level.
They just won't throw at him. They
Right.
won't throw at him unless they've got DeAndre Hopkins.
Correct.
Unless DeAndre
Tom Savage really didn't have much of a
right.
choice,
I mean,
did he?
He just threw, and again, in fairness, as we pointed out on Monday night, some of those were clearly situations where it looked like he was supposed to be releasing to a safety, and the safety wasn't there, and it made
right.
it look worse for
yes.
Jimmy Smith than it really was. All that being said, teams flat out wouldn't throw on Jimmy Smith. I know we all like Marlon Humphrey, right? Like,
yeah.
I know we're all on board. Marlon Humphrey looks like a good first-round pick. He looks like a player that's panning out. You saw really quick. Ain't got a single problem teams throwing against Marlon Humphrey.
Well,
they don't have a problem in the world throwing against Marlon Humphrey.
There's nothing to be afraid of. He's still a rookie. He's still trying to get the ropes of becoming a starter in this league. People know what Jimmy Smith can do. With Marlon Humphrey, you're still trying to figure out, well, how good is he? So you're going to take the risk
mm-hmm.
to throw to Humphrey as opposed to Jimmy Smith. Now, you don't have the security blanket as the Ravens to have one side literally shut down.
Correct.
Now, so it's an open playing field here because Brandon Carr has to probably come back into the starter.
Yep.
Webb.
You're going to see more Maurice Kennedy
more
for
Maurice
sure.
More Maurice Kennedy, more Webb.
Maybe Jalen Hill gets on the
yeah.
field now.
Yeah.
You know, we'll
I
see.
Think that has to happen yep. if he's healthy. But, yeah, now this is a different ball game now. The Ravens at times have problems. And today was, although they did get some sacks today, there were times that Matthew Stafford had time to file his nails to get the plays out. And so if they're allowing quarterbacks to get 3, 4, and 5 seconds, and now your secondary no longer has Jimmy Smith, that's potentially an issue here.
That's a fact. All of those things are fact, particularly when you're going to face a team like you're going to face next week in the Steelers
Absolutely.
In Pittsburgh. It is final, as Nathan points out. It's 44-20. Ravens win today. They improved to 7-5 on the season. And again, it's a fine line to walk in how the temperature of this postgame show. Because there's the excitement of, we didn't see this coming. We
definitely
did not see the offense performing like this. This was this is by far the best offensive performance of the season.
Easily.
This was a day where you start wondering, maybe there is something more under the hood. It's one of the goofy things is people, Rita, have been saying things like, well, you could just get a little bit from your offense, you know, think about how good you could be. And my response all season has been, I don't think you can get anything from this offense. I don't think there's anything to get. Well, today would be the argument against what it is that I feel. Today would be the day that you say, well, maybe there is something to get from this offense.
Yes, I agree. And then but I still got complaints with the offense. You had in the first half, I believe, Flacco had 5 incompletions. And four of those five incompletions came from guys just not catching the ball. Correct. So
yeah, imagine as good as Joe Flacco was in the first half. Imagine if guys had just caught
exactly.
the ball. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So and listen, guys, I'm not getting ready to put my cape on for Joe Flacco. He has deserved all the criticism that he has received in 2017. But what we are reminded of by today is that this is a collective effort in what is going on with the Ravens offensively. You have guys that had balls literally thrown to their hands. The Mike Wallace pass, although that was a great pass by Flacco, he wanted to drop that one. He bobbled that
one. He tried it on the sideline. Yeah, right.
He bobbled the long pass. And so you, the Ravens really did well today, and they still need to improve today. But I am glad that for once I can say five isn't the guy that we needed to get the improvement from, because he did his part.
No, he was great today. Joe was tremendous.
He was very good today.
If we're doing man of the match, it's going to be hard for me to make it anybody other than Joe Flacco today, because he was absolutely phenomenal in this game. That being said, Rita, I think the bigger picture and the people that I'm going after, the people that have decided that this is about Joe's skills eroding, that this is about him not being able to do it anymore, and we've talked about this throughout the course of the year. As I've said, look, everybody knows the results haven't been good. Nobody's arguing about the results. Nobody's arguing about the statistics, any of those things. What we're trying to figure out is, how did we get to this point?
Correct.
And there are plenty of people in town who have decided that the way that the Ravens have gotten to this point this season is because Joe's done.
Yeah.
Because he was a good player who's on the backside of his career, and the skills have eroded. You saw today the skills are still there. The skills are just fine. Now, how does it explain what's happened all throughout the course of this season up till today? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell you why it is that it looks so good today and hasn't looked good for the rest of the season. I do know that the other things that you and I talk about regularly, the issues of the fact that he doesn't regularly get protection, the issues of the fact that that clearly has done something to his internal clock.
Yes.
That when there isn't the pressure that that he clearly thinks is going to be there, he still feels as though it might be coming, and so he's getting the ball out sooner than he needs to and not going through his reads. All of those things are true. Guys are dropping the football. Guys aren't running good routes. All of these things are correct. But the argument that Joe Flacco's skills have eroded, dude, did you watch the game? The skills are still there. How do you get it out of him week to week? My argument has been, surround him by better players.
There it is.
Right?
Like that is the answer. If you want something from him, you have to give him the pieces to do that. Today, my mom and I went to the game, and
your mom's here, by the way.
Yes,
my mom is.
I asked her, did she want to say something? She said no.
Your mom brings a level of positivity that I need in my life.
That is
right?
Positive, like, Patty.
Your mom
positive
brings,
Patty with the spirit fingers. She loves to do the spirit fingers. She loves to say, I said it was a turnover. I said it was a touch. That is my mom. So we were at the game, and there was a play in, I believe, the second quarter in which Flacco, I believe, he threw the ball to Alex Collins across the middle. He was going across the middle. Now, I bring this play up because that is not his first read. That is not his second read. That is not his third read. But I literally watched him make the progressions to each guy. While the pocket wasn't collapsing, but it was starting to crumble a little bit, and you can see he was getting antsy because he knew he was running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him make at least at minimum two progressions. Every guy that was down the field was covered, not available. Collins comes in at the last second, goes across the middle, gets some yardage. I believe they get the first down, or I believe that was just the first and 20 play, but they at least got back to the original line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is that he does do these things, people. I know we like to say, oh, he's just one read and then check down. One read and check down. The guys aren't getting open on this team.
Well, they don't have those guys.
They don't have those guys, and then...
But when I said that, I said they don't have guys that do anything dynamic. Well, separation doesn't come either because they're so big or because they're so fast or because they're so good at running routes they can find soft spaces, a la once upon a time Derek Mason, who was not the fastest guy at that point in his career.
Yes.
Once upon a time was very fast, and his game was immediately predicated on speed. But when he arrived in Baltimore, it was never about speed anymore. It was about his uncanny ability to find a zone within a defense and say, I'm going to go sit in this zone and be open. The Ravens have nobody
that does
no
any
does of
that.
Those things.
No one does that here. And so, to me, that was a good heads-up play for him, because he allows himself to give himself some time, try to see if someone was available. No one could find themselves available. Finally, Alex Collins gets off of his block, comes off, and gives him, you know, some availability. But these things are happening, people. I know we like to say Joe's not into it anymore, that he's not football smart. That's fine. But there are plenty of situations, if you watch football from a perspective that it's available to you to say otherwise.
Correct. And look how much things opened up for the entire offense after one deep ball.
Right.
One deep ball and the reminder of what Joe Flacco is able to do with that opened up so much more of the field for this team. If the deep ball is a threat, if there's a real fear of this guy can kill us with that, it's going to open so much more of the field. And one deep ball today really changed everything for the Ravens offensively in the first half. It really opened up so much more of the field because it was a reminder of this dude can do that. Easily.
I agree.
He's easily able to beat our brains in doing something along those lines. Let me get to some of these responses. Feel free to chime in the comments as we continue along here in the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by ParXL. Ravens win 44-20. Let me start. John, happy for Weddle. Ain't the ice cream cold tonight? Yeah, sure. I mean, look, Weddle's had an up and down. He's had an up and down season. He's had moments where...
He's another person that's on the other side of his career. He's a good player, but... We don't have Weddle at his prime anymore.
No, but I think in the last few weeks he has been more solid. I think that he struggled for a while, and I think in the last couple weeks he's been more solid. I think they're still trying to figure out he and Tony Jefferson who's supposed to be doing what in certain situations.
Yes, I agree with that.
They're going to need more from both those guys now with Jimmy Smith not being on the field. From Mason, the offense carried this game. Well, you know, look.
Oh, that's not fair.
The defense had a rough stretch coming out of the half.
Okay, the first half, though, they were pretty dominant.
Right, they were very good in the first half, and then Jimmy Smith got hurt.
That's true.
I mean, the story of what happened after halftime was Jimmy. Do you remember what happened in the Giants game last year?
Mm-hmm.
They had no problems at all right up until the point that Jimmy Smith came off the field. I cannot stress this enough. This is a good defense that when Jimmy Smith is out there can be very good to special. When Jimmy Smith isn't on the field, they're a good defense again.
Yep.
They have nice parts. They have good players. They don't have game wreckers. Jimmy Smith changes everything that an offense is trying to do because you literally won't look to that side of the field.
Correct.
If you're playing with half the field. Remember how Brian Billick used to talk about Jonathan Ogden? Do you remember the way that like he would get that gleam in his eye when you would bring up Jonathan Ogden?
Because it's a sure thing.
Because what it was I don't have to game plan anything
Correct.
Over there. Now we can go about what we want to do knowing that's settled. That's what Jimmy Smith does defensively. You literally are taking away part of what a team wants to do just because of someone's presence.
I completely agree.
When you lose that, I'm not trying to belittle the rest of the defense. It cannot be overstated how significant Jimmy Smith's presence is and how much it's going to hurt them to not have him out there. And you saw that in the third quarter. From Nathan, Jalen was a healthy scratch again today. Yeah, but we're saying we think that will probably...
Yeah, that changes now. I mean, like to believe that that changes. I mean, it's a numbers game too, guys. I mean, we have to come to that conclusion.
Now, Jimmy Smith's going to go on IR, so the question becomes, who is it that they add to the roster? Is it somebody they think can have a special teams role? Something along those lines. They've already been playing the sort of... Maybe they say we'd like to have Campanaro and Perryman healthy and active next week. And
we'll
so
see.
There's a lot of things going on. But, yes, we think that Jalen Hill will end up seeing the field a little bit more. Speaking of which, Josh asks, will Perryman ever be active again?
Yeah. I don't see how he's not active
anymore.
But
I think this is a big deal today again because
I agree.
After the initial benching, it felt like we wanted to say something to him, so we made that decision. Okay, we made our statement. Now we move forward. Now we get, you know, this guy back out on the field. We said what we wanted to say to him.
He was there.
Last week, they put him back on the field.
I'm being funny.
Right.
I'm being facetious here.
And then they decided, okay, nope. We can't have you out there.
I mean, I do think that because there's a lot of things that could come into play. Someone could be injured. Macklin obviously hasn't been particularly healthy this year. So anything can happen. So Perryman, I do think at some point becomes available. But that doesn't mean they're going to do anything in game plan
with Perryman. Well, I've also
said
it. I don't think they're running Perryman out this offseason either.
No, I don't. I mean... How does that benefit your team in doing so?
Well, somebody would say you're going to have false hope, you know, that you're going to put yourself through because he's a draft pick, you're going to give him opportunities he doesn't deserve. And those are intangible things that I can't speak to. What you're speaking to is the tangible reason why I think he'll be back, which is he doesn't cost you all that much
money. Exactly my point.
He's still on his rookie deal.
Yes. You just don't pick up the fifth-year option.
Correct.
That's
exactly right. You're going to say next year's the year. Go out and prove whether you're a football player or not. And you can't plan around the idea that he's going to be.
Correct.
What you do is you say, hey, if you end up being a football player, God bless you. You know what I mean? Like, great. But we're going to not make any plans. We're going to go get other receivers.
our plans are not going to be that Breshad Perriman's a factor for 2018, but we'll keep you around. You got to earn a roster spot in training camp.
Yep.
We'll do all the, it's the Matt Elam routine,
yep.
right? Like, we're going to do all the same things that we did with Matt Elam when he was a failed pick. We're going to give him an opportunity, even though he hasn't done anything. And if it turns out that we've got enough good players that we can't carry you, or that you just don't have anything to offer, then he'll be gone at that point. But I don't think they're just going to run him off for the sake
of
running
him off. Yeah, from a dollars and cents perspective, you don't lose anything by keeping him there. So why not?
That's the idea. From Eric Goodwin. Yeah, agreed. Nick, the play calling was better. And that,
yes,
I
it
think
was.
That's going to speak to the question that we're going to ask is, why was the offense so much better today than it had been during the course of the season? And what Mick is speaking to, what a lot of people are speaking to, is that they took some more chances.
They did.
They were far less vanilla as the game went along. They were absolutely trying to do some things. It was almost as if maybe they started hearing some of the things that Joe Flacco was saying and how frustrated he was, and said, okay, we're going to give you the opportunity to win. The protection was pretty good today.
Yes, it
was. That's a big part of the story. Ziggy Ansah got hurt, and that clearly hurt the Lions
yes.
a little bit. You know, that's a factor in why the protection was much better today. Those things, I think, are part of the storyline. Again, I don't know that I have any confidence that they can carry over how well the offense played this week to next week, even playing a defense that's not all that good in Pittsburgh. I just don't know that I can believe that this offense is really good versus they had a good day.
That was what my point was going to be. We saw this in Oakland. They had a pretty good game plan in Oakland. Pretty similar, actually, if you think about it. They had a big play.
Right, correct. They went down
then,
the field.
And
yeah.
then they utilized that. They had a good running game and as a result. And then the next week, what did they do? Go back to what they have been used to doing, which is being vanilla. I am not confident that they can be consistent on doing this. I do think that Pittsburgh you're in a good position with Pittsburgh to try to take some shots. I just don't think that they will. I feel like they're going to try to play safe
yep.
because they believe that playing safe keeps them in that football game. I disagree with that 110%. You have to do what you have to do to try. Pittsburgh's going to take their shots, rightfully so.
Correct. And
you
it's
need to
so
do the
much
same
more
thing.
So now with Jimmy Smith
Absolutely.
Out of the game.
Absolutely. So you need to, and we can all agree here that they don't have a Jimmy Smith in their secondary. They don't
no.
have anyone nearly as good. They do.
I think that Artie Burns has.
No, he's not Jimmy Smith.
No, I'm not. Trust me, Reed. I am no world trying to compare
Artie Burns. Artie Burns is, he's nice.
I think he's a player. I think that we've learned
cool.
that Artie Burns is a player
That's
more than.
Nice.
But I think that Ike Taylor was a player, and the Ravens never really had much of a problem going up against Ike Taylor.
I'm just making the point that if you can protect, because they do have a good linebacking core, so if you can protect Flacco, if you're in a position that you have to take your shots down the field. The only way you're going to win that game next week is if you learn how to take the shots downfield that you did today. Whether or not you get the break of having a defensive guy play or not, you just got to do
right.
it. Take
right.
the chance and do it. Don't go backwards, but that's going to happen. You know that, right?
No,
you know next week you and I are going to come on the
We're
show.
Gonna do this. By the way, it's going to be another midnight show
yeah.
next
yeah.
week.
Yeah, so next week you and I are going to come on the show and complain about the fact that they didn't do what they did today.
I'm with
it's
you.
It's coming.
Mick followed it up by saying the receivers aren't getting open. Wallace completely disappeared in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what we've been saying. Like, in the first half, they
I
couldn't catch.
I don't think Joe Flacco is missing receivers. That's what I thought.
In
was
the first half, they just couldn't catch.
Right. Right.
In the second half, they just maybe they thought that the game was well ahead and they didn't think that they had to play anymore. I don't know what's going on here, but the Ravens have a lot of decisions
that
they need to make.
Now, credit Chris Moore, who had a drop in the first half, but
yes,
he made that
he made
huge
a, yes.
play after the
Correct.
Questionable.
Yes.
Was it a fumble? Was it? Now, he was wide open. He better make that play.
My mom
right?
is like, well, why is Chris Moore? You know, what is going on? Like, why don't they play Chris Moore more? And I'm like, they just don't give him the opportunity.
Well, and again, I've been that guy too. We talked a lot about that last week, that I would absolutely give Chris Moore more of a look. Again, no pun intended. I really hate the fact that I need to come up with a different Chris Moore, a better look, an extended
it
look.
It is what it is.
I got to say something I hate when I say Chris Moore more, because then I just feel like I'm such a hack. I talk for a living. but they did that, and then what happened the first time they went his way today?
Yep.
The ball hits him right in the hands along the sidelines. He's open. He needs to catch the football, and he drops it. So it goes against this nature of wanting to give Chris Moore an extended look. See, I
but
did it with that.
But would you be more, I mean, at this point, with where you are with the wide receivers,
are you going
with Chris Moore or are you going with Breshad Perriman?
You
have to keep giving it to him. At some point, he's going to catch
Breshad
it.
Breshad Perriman's not even on the football field.
It is, exactly.
But my point would be, I'm more interested in what Chris Moore might do because maybe he could be around for a year or
yes.
two, whereas I don't think that Mike Wallace or Jeremy Maclin is a long-term guy
they're
in
not.
Baltimore. I think they're just guys that are here because the Ravens didn't bother to go get any real football players
That's very true.
In the last few years. Let me try to roll through some more of these. Paul, I guess the offense screwed for Alabama. This is so. You know what? What he's about to say, he's so right about this, and it's terrifying. I guess the offense is screwed for help again in the offseason now. Ozzie will feel the need to load up on more cornerbacks.
He's right.
It's so terrifying.
He's right.
That now that the offense played well, right, and if they play well down the rest of the season, you're going to go through this whole thing again where, like, we need the defense to be better. We can't trust Jimmy Smith to stay healthy for 16 games, so we're going to have to go load up on the defense, which is the story of what happened a year ago. The offense sucked all year long, and because of the way the last three games went, the Ravens decided it was the defense that needed the help in the offseason.
I want to know what the Ravens think over there. I'd love to be a fly on the wall when they have these meetings, because I really want to understand why you continue to think that you can just grab a guy that's cut from another team at the very last minute and on offense and think that he can just come in and contribute and make this a great team.
You know the
team.
Other thing that really infuriates
me? And you don't do that on defense.
I hear you. Rita, when I hear this from somebody, that I say the Ravens, you know, spent an entire draft. I had my buddy Greg Rosenthal from NFL.com, who I actually think is a very reasonable thinker. He's a good friend of mine, and he was on this week. And I said something to Greg like, dude, you got to remember, they spent an entire draft on defensive players this year. An entire draft on the defense. Like, this is such a – and he said back. And I get where he's coming from, but it drives me nuts. He's like, well, what do you think, the Ravens are going to draft good wide receivers?
You got to try at some point, right?
He's right. Like, I understand what he's saying, but you have to keep doing
it. You got
to
do it. At some point, you'll strike something. You'll get something.
Could you imagine the Steelers going a year without drafting another wide receiver for Ben Roethlisberger? It's crazy.
Well, then find somebody else. Find someone that knows how to scout wide receivers and do it.
I don't get it. For man, only use Perriman as a kickoff guy. The Ravens should test it out. Chris Moore is a better receiver than Perriman. I think that a lot of people are in agreement on that. The problem is you can't experiment with something like that in week 14.
I agree.
Like, you just
this
can't.
It's way too late for that type of experiment.
You can't throw Rashad Perriman out there and hope that it works in week 14. Now, if you want to say to him, hey, you're going to be around next year, but you don't have a great path to the roster. If you want to have a path to the roster, you better figure out how to return some kicks. I think that's a great idea. I think you say that to him in the offseason. You better spend all of your time working. The problem is then you're really probably not going to get anything out of him as a receiver. I don't know. But at least you say to him, we want to take a chance and see if your speed can be useful in some way. So go learn how to return a kick. But you just can't do that.
I agree. You definitely can't do that now. That man needs a full few months to even deprogram and reprogram that whole thing. Like, that's a totally different animal. Playing special teams is completely different. And I know that people don't see that, but there's a lot of things that you can't do that the wide receiver does and vice versa. So I don't expect for the Ravens to say, okay, well, we want you on the field because you're a first-round draft pick. Go out there and get those kicks.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
That's not a real thing.
And it's not. And let's be clear here. It's not happening next year either. I mean, let's be honest.
Probably
here.
Not. But I have no problem with them saying.
I don't either. Having a whole offseason or training camp.
What did they do to Lorenzo Talaferro? They said, look, the numbers aren't going to be good for you as a running back. Try to go figure out how to play fullback and see if it works. Now, it didn't work out for him. By the way, Patrick Ricard ended up catching a touchdown today as a fullback, which is pretty funny. But they tried. They said, hey, go try to do something else to see if you can find your way to the roster. I'm still very angry about how it went the one off season because they brought in Rolando McClain in the process. And my boy Brian Hall, who was told, hey, look, we don't like the path of the roster for you as a defensive lineman. Slim down, see if you can become a linebacker next year. And he did exactly what he was asked to do. He lost a lot of weight. It really screwed him for having another opportunity to play in the NFL after that point.
Yeah.
And ended up missing out on a roster spot. I'm still pretty pissed off because that was the year they went after Rolando McClain. And I said,
and we saw how that worked.
Correct. The reason why you don't do that is because how do you look another guy in the eye and say, we want you to do this?
And they do it, and they still don't make it.
And then you say, but we're going to go take a chance on an S-head like Rolando McClain instead.
A poopy face.
Yeah, right. Oh, thank you, Greg, for the reminder, Rita. If you don't mind, can you put on Channel 23? I would like to see the Josh Gordon show. I would like to see that, please. I am.
You and KO.
No, it's not. I am nothing like him. I am intrigued. That's what I am. I'm not telling you that I believe that he's going to be a monster.
You and KO are pretty obsessed with Josh Gordon.
I'm just intrigued by seeing him, Rita. That's all.
You know what he looks like.
I haven't seen him. I don't know that I know what he looks like. Actually, I do know because I saw him with his shirt off recently. He looks.
Wait a minute.
Looks like something that I've never seen before.
Wait, TV timeout here. TV timeout.
Easy. You see that picture of him with his shirt off?
TV timeout.
Rita.
Rita.
Your bro card is slowly slipping away. No. I'm about to grab it.
I'm not saying I'm sexually attracted to the man.
I know, I know.
I'm saying I haven't seen that. That's not like how a human being looks.
This is like some type of like bromance thing you got going on, like a bro crush.
I just
want to
see it. That's all. I just want to see the show.
Has he done anything yet? They haven't caught no touchdown.
All right, from Hassan, he calls 31-20 Steelers next week. We'll deal with that then.
Listen.
I don't need your negativity right now.
Can we just celebrate this win?
Yeah, right? The offense looks good. Hassan's there.
Jeez, Hassan.
Nita wants to know how will we fare against Pittsburgh. Well,
can we wait till next week? Jesus.
I mean, that is the story of this week, though, obviously. The story
y'all just going to bypass what happened today because the Lions are on a good team.
The story is going to be, do you take from today's game, do you have the belief that after a team scored 44 points today, that now they're capable of going into Pittsburgh and beating the Steelers? That's the story of this week around Baltimore.
Well,
is,
but you know what the Ravens are, though, which is inconsistent.
I agree.
So no, I don't. I don't think most people believe
that. So then you're just as bad as everybody else. You're poo-pooing it right now, too.
Listen
to you. You heard her a second ago. She was mad at everybody else.
She
was like, out there, you douse the cold water right now. And then I just asked her the same question, and she's doing the same thing.
Because I did not think that the Ravens would win today. And so I am trying to be happy with the fact that I was very wrong about what happened today. I did say that the Lions was going to score 20 points. I said the Ravens was going to score 17. So I got one part of it right. I just got the other part wrong.
You.
But yeah. So I'm trying.
They outscored you by 4 touchdowns.
Correct. Yeah. I'm trying to embrace something that may not happen next week. Now, the good thing about next week is that it is a division opponent, which always is murky. I don't care who you are.
Well, and the Ravens have a history of playing well in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. They have a history of playing the Steelers well, period. Yeah. We literally
the game earlier this year was not very good.
No, but my point is that literally the Ravens just had a 6-game win streak against them as last year.
Correct.
So you give them a chance because they obviously know each other very well, but I do think that the issue with Jimmy Smith does put the Ravens in a situation that they do not want to be in.
I don't know that I would have confidence if Jimmy Smith was on the field, but I would
you'd feel much more
better.
Safer
that
they'd make the plays that they needed to make on defense.
I would feel much better. There's no doubt about that. From Derek, they took advantage of a bad Lions defense.
That's fine. But you realize the Ravens don't take advantage of things
that's
often.
True, right?
So you gotta count your blessings.
They still
had
to go out and do it.
Yes.
I mean, there's something to be said for that. From Brian Powell, the Ravens now have a better record than the Chiefs. Yeah, that is.
Is that him?
No, it was not.
Okay.
That's Joku. The Ravens have a better record than the Chiefs. What's happened to Kansas City is.
Well, did they end up losing today?
Ended up losing,
Kansas City is a prime example of a team that this is why I don't get real high on teams that come off real hot early on because the season is too long. You're not New England. Kansas City is not New England. I think New England is probably the only team, potentially Green Bay if you have Aaron Rodgers. Those two teams, I think that they give us enough consistency where if they started 6-0, that you believe that they can continue that trend. Kansas City has way too many things against them. They could potentially lose the division to San Diego if San Diego comes off with a hot streak.
I almost don't know how they don't, to be honest with you.
No, absolutely.
I almost don't know
at this
point how anybody could think the Kansas City is going to end up. Now, could they still sneak in as the 6th seed and get a wild card?
But then that means the Ravens got to lose somewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, correct? I would be stunned at this point if Kansas City ends up making the playoffs. Honestly, I'd be stunned at this point. And then from Paul, off topic from this game, I'm standing on the table now screaming for the Ravens to draft wide receiver Anthony Miller from Memphis within the first two rounds.
I like him.
When they played UCLA early in the year, I just happened to have a free Saturday, and it was a noon game, and so I was sitting around watching it. I fell in love the way that I fell in love with Corey Davis from Western Michigan a year ago.
I like him.
Dude, he is a monster.
Yes.
He's a beast. Now, again, I have no idea how that all plays out, but I love him. I love him. He's a player that I've really enjoyed watching. That kid is a baller like Antonio Brown and Steve Smith. I love him. And the wide receiver from UCF, Traquan Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Can we swap Perriman back to UCF for him?
And both of them were on display yesterday. They played in the AAC championship game. So I do think that their stock kind of raised, I think. So there's a good chance the Ravens don't get either one of
those
guys.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
Yep.
All right. I need 30 seconds to tell you all about Par XL. When we come back in, we will take more of a look ahead to Pittsburgh. We will
we'll start thinking about next week, Sunday Night Football and a showdown between the Ravens and Steelers. We'll do it next. It's the Project Game Day postgame show from PressBox.
The ParXL Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, back in here, the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by ParXL, Glenn Clark, the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. So, yes, Rita, big win, good win. Everybody's happy.
And then they already are looking forward to next Sunday.
A couple things. One, the Steelers are playing on Monday night, so they'll have shorter rest. Of course, the Ravens had shorter rest this week than the Lions, who had 10 days off, so you saw how much that mattered.
Yeah.
Two, I don't think that tomorrow night's game for the Steelers is as much as a gimme as everybody makes it out to be. The Steelers are a far different team on the road than they are at home.
Very true.
And don't look now, but the Bengals are suddenly, like, in the picture again in the AFC, which is insane considering nobody thinks they're any good, but their schedule also broke very favorably the way the Ravens did, and so all of a sudden they're in the mix again.
Yep.
So I don't know that this is a gimme for the Steelers tomorrow night. I still think the Steelers end up winning the game.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing where I don't feel good about next week. I don't think the Ravens should go beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, but I'd be stunned if the game was a multi-score difference. I'd be stunned if it was anything other than a one-possession game coming down to the end. And if there's anything that makes you feel better or remotely good, it's the fact that the offense looked competent. They looked competent the last time they went to Pittsburgh. They scored. If they were to have the ball last, and four downs to try to go win, I don't think the Steelers' defense terrifies you in the thought that they couldn't figure out a way to march the ball down the field. I think the Ravens at least have a chance to go win this football game.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Ravens dominated Green Bay, and then the next week the Steelers gave up 28 points to the Packers. They literally, you know, got through with the skin of their teeth. And that's just the way that the NFL goes. We can all agree that Green Bay is nowhere near as good as they should be when Aaron Rodgers is there, and somehow the Steelers let them hang around. That is the Steelers. They are just as inconsistent with the Ravens. The difference is that they have an offense that is, for the most part, consistent, and
correct,
they put up points, and that's how they get out of those
and
those
binds.
And
particularly consistent at home.
Correct. So, you know, the Steelers have their own issues as well. The Ravens have to find a way to capitalize off of their issues on defense and exploit them. And I think that that's the issue with fans, is that no one really trusts that to happen. I would hope that they see today and say, okay, we have to make a push and we have to find ways to get the ball down the field and challenge them. I would hope that they continue to keep the you know, the pedal on the gas.
If they go beat the Steelers, they're not winning that game 13-10. They're not winning that game the way that they used to win games.
Correct.
Against the Steelers.
Correct. This is a different type of NFL now.
Correct. If they go beat the Steelers next week, they have to win a game that's something in the neighborhood of 27-24 or something like that. That's how you win against a team as good as the Steelers. Your defense has to play well to hold the Steelers to 24.
Correct.
That's how good the Steelers are. You've got to play well. You've got to make some plays to give yourself an opportunity just to do that.
And let's be clear, when they play them earlier in the season, it was very, you know, early on, I think week three, week four, the Ravens were still very, very unhinged on offense. Not that they're any different now, but now there's a little bit more rapport. Jeremy Maclin obviously is getting more play time. You know, there were some things that they weren't doing back then that they're doing now. You hope that at some point that they learn those things and they know that they can attack. What you hope is that they'll come out and score more than 9 points like they did the last time.
Well, I agree, yes. And I think there's reason to believe.
They can, though. They can do that, I believe. I believe that the Ravens can score more than 9 points. Now, I'm not saying that the Ravens are going to put on a clinic and put 28 points up. I'm not saying that. But I do think that the Ravens team now is a different team then. I worry
that we're putting too much stock in this game, and that ultimately their offense really is a disaster.
Well,
and that ultimately the offense really is they can't two left feet, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're gonna trip all over themselves and they'll go out next week. I worry about that
because
now,
history says that that's what's going to happen.
Correct. Now that being said, Steelers defense again, not world beaters. Hayward's the only player that's really particularly good, and even he, I don't think, is a game wrecker. I think that you can handle Cameron Hayward.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think you need to have, as you said before, you need to have the ability to take some more chances. You can't go soft. You can't go vanilla. You can't think that you're going to Pittsburgh next week and winning a game because your defense is going to be so good that your offense just has to get by. If you do that, I think you're losing.
Oh,
I think
definitely.
You're losing somewhat handily. If today was an example of them saying, we think we can open things up a bit, we think that there is another level for this offense to get to, you know, then we got a different story. Then we got something that we can look at and say, maybe there's a real chance of the Ravens going next week to Pittsburgh. Again, I'm not going to feel good about it. I'm not going to think very highly of the chances going to Pittsburgh, but
they have to at least make three attempts of throwing the ball down the field 20 yards plus in order to try to stay into this game. And whether or not they're successful, you have to let the defense know that you are going to take chances. And when you do that, it does open up things offensively. I just need the Ravens to do it. I need them to do it. If you want to win, you got to throw the ball down the field whether you're successful or not. Just do it.
I agree.
It opens up everything else. So we'll see how this goes. We know Marty Morningwig doesn't really like success a ton because he just doesn't do it on a consistent basis.
Yep. 30 more seconds. We'll come in and wrap it up. It's Project Game Day, the postgame show. We're on PressBox's Facebook page.
What we do with our lives defines us, so consider a path that gives you an array of opportunities for your future. The U.S. Army gives you skills and experiences that make you a well-rounded person. With many ways to serve that align with your goals, you'll become a stronger individual. Find out more at GoArmy.com.
You may qualify for up to a $40,000 signing bonus. Start your future today at www.goarmy.com/football.
There's strong, then there's Army Strong, paid for by the United States Army.
All right, we're in agreement. Joe Flacco, man of the match for this week.
Definitely.
All right.
Ma, you got something to say before we go?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything?
No.
Yeah. We thank Rita's mom for the win today.
Yeah, please.
Because they were hanging out down by the tunnel before the game. And you were smacking everybody's butt on the way out. You were saying, let's go, is that?
You couldn't get that close. She wasn't that close. They clearly had, a fence or something.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so next week we will be with you. It'll be another late night for us as we will be with you after the Ravens-Steelers game, probably sometime around midnight next Sunday night for Project Game Day. Rita, of course, everybody can follow you on Twitter.
Yes, at the NFL Chick.
Very good. And next Sunday morning, we'll be back with Kyle and KZ for the Fantasy and Reality Football Show, 10 to noon, pressboxonline.com/radio. And I'll be with you again tomorrow morning, 10 to noon, for Glenn Clark Radio as well. Thanks for hanging out with us for Project Game Day. Thanks to Par Excel, as well as the U.S. Army and the Press Box for making it happen. We will talk to you next week.